Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you here. So excited about today's service. If you're familiar with reading the scriptures, you'll be in agreement with me that the Bible is filled with hundreds of fascinating people. You know, you just read about them, and it's like, wow, that's an interesting character. And for many of them, we recognize their names. You recognize Moses or King David, King Solomon. In the New Testament, Jesus, the Apostle Peter, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, but there are plenty of names, literally hundreds, that just slip by us unnoticed. So today we're going to be starting a new sermon series. We're calling it The Unsung Heroes of the Bible, and for the next 5 or 6 weeks we'll be covering some of these. There are literally hundreds of them. We're just going to pick out a few of them, but this is a shout out to people that most of us would not even recognize. Probably don't know them in any way. And the thing we want to look at is, why are they mentioned? Why are they even mentioned in the Bible? And here's my take on it. I think these names that we'll be looking at over the next several weeks are names of people that represent the vast majority of the Christian faith. That these are people who went about quietly just doing what they were supposed to do and, in fact, fulfilled important roles in the kingdom of God. So even though there are not a lot of passages about them, there are great life lessons that we will be learning. So today we're going to read about a guy who was not a general, didn't lead an army. He wasn't the CEO of any large corporation. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a judge. The guy we'll be reading about today, just an ordinary guy who used his gifts and talents and ended up making an impact, and in this case, an extraordinary impact, but basically changed history or had a big impact on history. And the thing that I want to talk about, maybe this would be the summary, your takeaway from this sermon series, is simply this. The guy did what he could do. That's it. He did what he could do. He just used what God gave him, went about life, and as a result, God was able to use him in significant ways. The guy's name in the Bible, his real name is Joseph, but most of us wouldn't recognize even that name. It says that the apostles gave him a nickname, and they nicknamed him Barnabas. So if you have your Bibles or your electronic device, you can open it up. We'll read about him in several places today. We'll start in the book of Acts chapter 4. This is where he's first mentioned. And it's the end of chapter 4. It says, "And Joseph, who also was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet." So we meet this guy. His original name is Joseph. The Bible says that for some reason, the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So Barnabas is listed here as an encourager. And right off the bat, you just start thinking about, well, that's a gift I think most anyone can be a participant in. Either way, you can be encouraged or be an encourager. You ever have a time in your life where you received an encouraging word when you really needed it? I think of several times in my life. It's sort of like a drink of cold water on a hot day. I mean, it's just so refreshing. You just get that word and it means something. It impacts you. And I can think back on a time, 6-7 years ago, Roxanne and I were doing a bicycle tour through the state of Ohio. We were part of an organization called GOBA, the Great Ohio Bike Adventure, and we did it several years, and usually there's about 1,500, 2,000 bicyclers, and every day you ride about 50 or 60 miles on the bike, and then that night you camp out, and next morning you get up, you ride another 50, 60 miles. You do that for a week, and you cover a certain section of Ohio, and it's really a lot of fun, and it really works well if you're in good shape. In a couple of the years I did it, I worked hard preparing. I was in pretty good shape. But this one year I goofed off and I wasn't really in good shape and thought, I'll just do it anyway. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it just so happens that year the heat index in those days was over 100. I mean, it was just cooking. And by about the third day, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is stupid, man. this is just dumb. Why am I doing this? You know, what am I trying to prove myself? I'm going to quit. And I had seen a lot of people dropping off that day. There were people dropping off, and when you drop out, you wait for what they call sag wagon. They come pick you up, and they bring you to camp, and you pack up, and you go home or whatever. And I'm thinking, I'm quitting. I'm done. You know, I'm just going to go home. And just then, young guy rides by me, and on the back of his shirt, he has it says Philippians 4:13. And I'm thinking, wow, Philippians 4:13. Anybody know what that passage says, Philippians 4:13? Say it again. Say it out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, that's a great passage of Scripture. The kid just rides by, and I'm sucking air, and I'm sweating. I'm, you know, having heat exhaustion. I'm thinking, I'm going to die. And he rides by, and I read that. Man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And I'm saying it as I'm riding. And, you know, for some reason, God honored that. And I got strengthened by that. And I'm thinking, you know, it says I can do all. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And I just finished out that day. And but toward the end of the day, I caught up with the young guy. I said, I got to take your picture. You know, he's going, what for? I said, just turn around, man. I just want to take a picture here. And I tried to tell him, you know, you don't know, but because of you, I finished today. And actually, I would say this, because of him, I didn't quit. I would have quit in the middle of the week. I would have called it quits. But, you know, that kid got up that morning. He didn't think anything of it. He just put the shirt on. He's probably thinking, oh, you know, maybe God will use it. Maybe he won't. And as a result, he had an impact on my life. And here's the thing, you know, you don't know what an encouraging word can do. You don't know how timely it can be. And would it be fair to say everyone wants to live a life that's important? Want to live a life that's meaningful? I mean, we all do, right? And, you know, at times you look around and you see people doing things and you think, man, if I had their gifts, I could do some good stuff for God. You know, if I could sing like he sings or sing like she sings, or if I could play an instrument like they do, or if I was as smart as he was, or if I had the organizational skills they had, or if I was, you know, whatever. You look in the mirror, it's like, whoop. A little short here right now, but it's not about, you know, what gifts you have. It's just, are you interested in being used by God? And for sure, here's a guy who went about doing things. Apparently, he had a lifestyle that was such that the apostle said, man, you know what? You're Barney. They called him Barney. No, they didn't call him Barney. That's just a... That wrecks it when you think Barney, you know? TV characters wreck that name. They said, you know, you're an encourager. We're going to call you Barnabas. And so they actually changed his name. And so here, the first time we meet him, though, it says here, the guy's name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And then verse 37 says, having land sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, so this is interesting. So there are a number of things Barnabas did that apparently got him this nickname Barnabas, but they list one of them here, and it says he had this parcel of land, he sold it, and he gave it to the apostles so that they could use it for the work there at Jerusalem. Now for sure, we know that Barnabas gave the money because God inspired him, and he gave because he was honoring God. But the apostles are saying, by the way, and it had to be a substantial amount, it wasn't $5, it's apparently a significant amount of money. They're saying, by the way, this encouraged us. And you know what? I just want to be honest with you this morning, all right? Can I just be honest just a little bit? Hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings here, but just to be honest with you, listen, running a church, the business of a church, is extremely challenging. It you know, we don't charge for our services here. Yet, every week, every other week, every month, we have financial demands that have to be met. We got to meet payroll, we have to pay the utilities, we have to maintain the building, we have to make mortgage payments, we have to make lease payments, we have to put money toward the ministries and the mission programs. And let me just tell you, this is really a challenge. But you know what? For 40 plus years, this church has never missed a payroll or paid a payment late because we didn't have enough money. For 40 years, never, not one time. I thank you, because here's the deal. When you give, you obviously should be giving because you're walking in obedience to God And you should be giving in gratefulness to God. But here's a way you can be encouraging. Be generous. It encourages me. It encourages your spiritual leaders. And let me tell you something. When the money gets tight, I lose sleep. I'm discouraged. When I find out, oh, man, the charitable donations for this church are down, it's like, oh, God, please, please, please help us. And then when I see that the offerings are up, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. I'm telling you, this is why this is written here. The apostles were saying, thank you, Barnabas. That gift really encouraged us. It helped us to do the work and be occupied about the things of God because of your charitable giving. So the first thing I'd say is you can be an encourager by being generous. Share your wealth and support the church that you're a part of. Support the work here. It's honoring God, but it encourages your spiritual leaders. But there's a couple of other mentions of Barnabas. I just want to read them to you, and you'll see why the guy was considered an encourager. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, there's another reference to Barnabas here. Acts chapter 9, and we'll read verse 26 through 28. It says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid." Think about that. The apostles were afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, this is the same Barnabas we just read about, took him, brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Barnabas had like almost like a sixth sense. He could see good in other people when other people couldn't or wouldn't. Now, a little background history, what's going on here. If you back up and read the beginning part of chapter 9, it's the story of Saul, the persecutor. Saul was a Jewish zealot, and when he started seeing these people convert to Christianity, he felt it was heresy, and he felt they were heretics, so he went around killing them, torturing them, throwing them in prison. I mean, he was a bad person. And it says he was on, the story says he was on his way to Damascus to capture and arrest more of these Jewish converts. When he has this encounter with God, he meets Jesus, he's converted, and right away he starts preaching the gospel. And so now we find it says in verse 26, Paul came to Jerusalem, and he wants to go to church, and they're at the front door. Hey, Saul, not here. You go someplace else. Kick them out. They didn't accept him because they were afraid. And I think it would be reasonable to say, yeah, I think they had some reason to consider maybe the guy was scamming them and claiming to be a Christian just so that he could get in and wreak havoc and arrest the rest of them. And so they didn't accept him. They rejected him. But here's Barnabas on the scene, and what does Barnabas do? He goes, no, man, come on. Come on, guys, open your hearts. Barnabas could see good in people when other people couldn't or even wouldn't. And I think the reason is because Barnabas, he was big enough to change a vile sinner. Barnabas believed God changed the man. Barnabas believed that God was the God of second chances. You know, Barnabas felt like you don't have to hold a person's past against them. So how come, why is Barnabas called an encourager? Well, you see here, he was standing by someone when they needed someone to stand by him. No one else would stand with Saul. No way, man. The guy killed he had killed their relatives. He had thrown their relatives in prison. He had tortured their relatives. They're thinking, I don't want anything to do with it. Barnabas said, I'll stand with you, Saul. Come on, man. Brings him into the church. And this isn't the only time, we won't turn to the passage, but if you have a chance, you could read again. He does it again in chapter 11 with another guy, a young guy named John Mark. We read the story of John Mark. He's a young Christian. He's growing up in the church. He wants to do more for God, and so he goes on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, which is really an awesome opportunity. Well, on the journey, he cops out. He quits. We don't know why. It doesn't say why he quit. It just says he ditched them. And apparently they did not leave on good terms. He got discouraged, he got doubts, whatever, didn't want to go on a journey. He ditches Paul and Barnabas. And so then a couple of years later, Paul and Barnabas, they finish out the journey, they come home, they rest. They decide they're going to go on another journey. John Mark says, "Hey guys, can I go with you?" If you were Paul, what would you say? Paul said, "No way. I can't trust you, no way." Barnabas steps up, stands next to John Mark, says, "Come on, Paul. Give the guy another chance, man. He's learned his lesson. Come on, let's take him." It says in the Bible, Paul and Barnabas had such an argument, they parted ways. But Barnabas took John Mark with him and went on and did missionary work. We find out because he was able to encourage John Mark that years later, Paul realized he was wrong. And in one of his letters, he writes to one of his disciples, Timothy, and in the letter, he says to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, I heard John Mark is with you. Could you send him over to help me because he's really profitable to the ministry?" So Barnabas was the kind of guy who could stand up for people when they needed some help. He was an encourager because he saw in people something that maybe others didn't see. He saw the potential. And really, he's following his master, Jesus, because if you read the Gospels, this is something Jesus was incredibly good at. He had this way of just like cutting through, and where other people despised someone, he would show them love and respect. The lady who was caught in adultery, he just showed her such compassion and respect where the Pharisees wanted to stone her. And he's going through this town, Jericho, and he sees Zacchaeus up in a tree, and he goes, "Hey, Zacchaeus, let's do lunch together today." And Zacchaeus was the kind of guy that everyone loved to hate. He was a crook, a liar, embezzler, a double crosser. He was a bad person. Jesus wants to hang out with him, ends up at that lunch. Zacchaeus gets saved. He invites Matthew to be one of his apostles. Matthew was a tax collector, considered by the Jews to be a traitor. Jesus looks at him and says, "Come on, man, follow me." So, one way you can be an encourager is at least try to see as God sees. Look at people. It's the saddest thing when you meet Christians who are cynical, who are critical, negative, always bad. These people are so dumb and, just bad. It's so distasteful. Have the heart and mind of Jesus. Be an encourager and recognize, look, come on, man, these people need someone to stand by them. I mean, here's the fact. We don't realize this, but everybody we meet on any given day is generally carrying some kind of burden. They're sick, their relatives are sick, they're dealing with financial difficulty, their marriage is on the rocks, they're going through a life stage that's challenging, and you don't know if your encouraging word can make such a major impact. And, it can be done in 100 different ways. It can be done with saying, "I'm going to stand with you, man. I'm with you. I got your back. I believe in you." It can be done through written notes of encouragement. It can be done through gifts, thank you gifts. It can be done wearing a t-shirt, I mean, some t-shirts people wear a little weird, but, you can wear something and you don't know. You just don't know. And here's Barnabas. He says, "I'll stand with you, John Mark." And we find out later, yeah, it made a difference. One more time that he's mentioned, and we'll finish up here. It's another place, in the same thing in the book of Acts. You just go forward, but it's Acts chapter 19. I think this is really significant where Barnabas is mentioned here. It's in Acts chapter 11, and we'll read in verse 19. It says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Greeks, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and guess who they send out to check out this work? And they send out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." So here's one other thing that stands out to me about Barnabas. Why he was called an encourager? Because he was open to change. What's happening right here in the book of Acts chapter 11 is a major cultural shift in the church as it's being birthed. Up until this time, it says that as of this time, only Jews were being converted. But the gospel's going out, and it just so happens now that Gentiles being anyone who's not Jewish, are being brought into the kingdom. And first of all, we are the result of that, of which we should be very grateful. You know, they were crossing this ethnic fence and going, you can be saved. Now, to the Jew, this is different thinking. They were brought up from birth believing that they were the chosen people, they're the only ones going to heaven, and everybody else was just created to stoke the fires of hell. I mean, that was just their perspective on everything. And now they're hearing, well, these non-Jews are being saved, and they're concerned. They're thinking, do they even know what to do? Will they do things right? And so who do they send? They send Barnabas. And it's interesting they send Barnabas because he's a Levite. The Bible says he was a Levite, means he was a religious leader in the Jewish community. It means he was, from a child, raised up in Jewish tradition and custom. He knew the laws of Moses. And how easily it would have been for him to say, these people they don't measure up. But instead, it says he goes. And I just love the words here. First of all, it says, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with these people, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Barnabas goes, and look at verse 23. He came, and when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And there he goes. He encouraged them with all purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Barnabas is in uncharted territory. This had never happened before, and they're thinking, is this legitimate? And Barnabas, it says, he's able to see the hand of God. He's able to get by prejudices. He's able to get by training from a childhood. He could see the hand of God. He was open to change. And this is hard for so many people. Well, you know, change, I mean, wow, whenever you talk about change, there's like a whole range of emotions. You know, you go from, especially young people, like change, I love it, let's do it, let's get on with it. They want change. And then you have the people in the middle that's like, change, maybe it's okay, maybe it isn't, let's go slow. And then you have the others who think all change is of the devil. You know, the past is the only good stuff, and you know you're getting old when you start talking like that. Oh, the good old days. I mean, that's wrong. In the book of Isaiah, it says God is doing a new thing. He's always doing something new. You just have to be open to it. I mean, examples, the most prominent example you see is the history of music in the church. I mean, just think of how the church has been some people in church so resistant to change of music. You know, all they think about is, oh, it was so good when I was young. I wish they'd go back to that. And they're like, you would be like people resisting these people coming into the kingdom. Oh, it would be so good if only Jews got saved. Rest of you can go to hell, you know, we don't care. I mean, you're just missing it. Barnabas thought outside the box. He wasn't restricted by cultural norms. He was an independent thinker. He wasn't conforming to everybody else. He's looking for God. If there's a change coming, it doesn't mean we accept all change. It doesn't mean everything goes and whatever anybody thinks is fine. I'm not interested in everybody's opinion. I'm not. I am interested in the move of God. And I'm looking, like it says, he saw, you know, what do you think he saw? He saw the grace of God. He saw what it says in verse 21, people turning their hearts towards God. He saw lives transformed. That's the evidence of God's Holy Spirit. When God's doing something, whether it's new or not, you don't judge it by that. You're looking for the hand of God. Do you see the hand of God on this? And Barnabas saw it. And he was glad, and he encouraged them, and thank God he did, because we're the fruit of that. The kingdom of God spread throughout the empire and all over, and Gentiles were brought into the kingdom, so much so that today we think that Christianity is all about non-Jews, and that Jews are, you know, they're not part of it, but the early church was all Jewish, and they were resistant, you know, hesitant about non-Jews coming into the church. Barnabas, his encouragement changed the whole concept of Christianity. So just a couple of quick questions. You think Barnabas made a difference with his life? Yeah. How did he do it? He was an encourager. As a matter of fact, I would go so far to say that if Barnabas hadn't been an encourager, we would not have half of the New Testament. We wouldn't have it. Because he reached out to Paul and brought him into the church and encouraged him in the ministry, because he did that, Paul ends up writing 13 books of the New Testament. He wrote almost half of the New Testament, as well as planting many, many churches throughout Asia and Europe. I mean, think, and then John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. If Barnabas hadn't encouraged these two men, the world would be different today. I don't know if Barnabas saw the impact he had, and I don't know if we always see the impact we have, but I can tell you this, you can be an unsung hero if you just do what God calls you to do. I'm going to finish with one really cool story. It's about a preacher who was preaching in 1934 down in North Carolina. And he's having like a tent revival. And at the end of the sermon, he invites people to come forward to get saved. And a bunch of people come forward. And one of the people that came forward was a 16-year-old young guy. And in his writing, he says, "As I was coming forward, I felt like lead weights were on my feet holding me back, like I was dragging coming forward." He said, "When I get up front, I see people weeping." And he said, "I didn't feel any emotions at that time." And he said, "I felt really stupid. I thought I was being foolish." And then he said, "I decided I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go back. This is dumb." And just as he makes the decision he's going to turn around, a friend comes up, puts their hand on his shoulder, talks to him, explains to him how God is calling him to salvation, explains the plan of salvation. The guy gets saved. He says, looking back, that was pivotal in his life. That was pivotal. We don't know the name of that person who came up at that right moment. But thanks to that unsung hero, the young man they helped that night was Billy Graham. Billy Graham, who we know the rest of the story, goes on to preach to over 200 million people. Brought hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Unsung hero just did their job that night. Just did their job. So you can do your job. Do what you can. And as we go through this sermon series, realize they're mentioned there because these people that we don't recognize, they're not the famous people. And you know, you may never be famous. You may never be a president. You may never be a millionaire, movie star, sports person. But God has called you to accomplish things with the gifts and talents he's given you. And for sure, we can all be an encourager. You can be an encourager by being generous. You can be an encourager by just standing with people when they need someone to stand with them, see the good in them. You can be an encourager just being a little more open to change, just giving God a chance and looking for the hand of God, and you can be an encourager to what God's doing. Amen? Let's pray. Let's stand up. God, I thank you that there are so many people in the Bible that are not famous, and that represents us, the vast majority of those of us who follow you. God, we want to live lives that make a difference. We want to live lives that have impact, and I pray you help us to do what we can, not to compare ourselves to other people's gifts, but to use the gifts and talents you've given us, and to be an encourager, God, to be open and look around, to be an encourager with our giving, to be an encourager with people who need someone to stand with them, God, to be an encourager to those who are doing things differently. God, that we can advance your kingdom with what you've given us. And we thank you for that, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just let's just stay in the presence of the Lord. I just feel like God wants me to say to all of you here this morning, you are the unsung heroes of the kingdom of God. But here's the real kicker. You're famous with God. He knows your name. sees you. You're part of the work of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you. I just thank you that we get to be a part. We get to be a part of advancing your kingdom, God. Thank you. Thank you that you give us those second chances. You look past our failures and mistakes, God. You see in us, like Jesus saw in people, something, potential, life. Help us to walk in it, Father. Just come, Holy Spirit, just come.
So I was just feel like God was wanting us to know that we are all pieces on the chessboard that God is moving around, and that there are strategic places and moves that God is moving us, and just being open to Him every day in our lives, at the grocery store or at work, that as pieces of the chess set in God's kingdom, that He's ready to move us. And if we are just open to Him and ready to be moved, and we don't know if it's the pawn that's going to put the checkmate, but yeah, I just see a chessboard, and that we are all involved and very important to God's kingdom.
That's good, Rox. That's good. Stay up here. So let's do this.